Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the Visit the Northeast of Scotland podcast with me, your host, Jacqueline Van Den Akker. In today's episode, we're staying on the adventure sports topic and we're having a conversation with Stephen Strathy, a keen adventure cyclist and outdoor sports enthusiast. Stephen recently joined the board of directors of local adventure community Scottish Adventure, which was established in 2020. The group is made up of people who have a love of the outdoors and come together to participate in different cycling activities, but also have a genuine community feel by sharing stories, adventure experiences, and social elements to their rides. Scottish Adventure strongly believe the outdoors is for everyone, and all abilities are welcomed. The main objective is to get out there, slow down, and take in the wonderful landscape, and to enjoy the company of others. Good morning, Stephen, and welcome to the podcast here at Grampian Escapes. And thank you very much for joining me today and telling us your stories around Scottish Adventure, your cycling and outdoor adventure cycling, and your love of Scotland. Can we start just giving us a bit of background about yourself and how you got into cycling?
Sure. Yeah, first of all, Jacqueline, thanks very much for the opportunity. So yeah, I've been based up here for about 8 years, done an awful lot of cycling up here on my own until recent times, a lot of cycling on the road. I've enjoyed that immensely, but you know, 8 years is a long time to do that. I think it would probably be about 8 years and 40,000 kilometres. So I was looking for something different. I had bikepacked solo on my own out to the Cairngorms. I had done coast-to-coast rides, bikepacking as well, but all on my own. And I guess I was seeking something a little bit more. I wanted to share in these adventures with people. I wanted to meet like-minded, people with like-minded mindset. I wanted to learn a little bit more. I felt I was at that point getting by sheer luck and maybe a little bit of determination. So I was looking to develop that and also to travel to new areas, to find new things. And a lot of that was driven by my experiences in lockdown, where you, I guess, explored your local area. And then when we started to emerge out of lockdown, you still had that mindset of exploration, didn't you? So it provided me, in meeting with Scottish Adventure, a springboard to meet those people, to be in amongst that mindset and to help people plan, you know, share my experiences, but also hear other people's experiences and where we might go, what we might do, the means in which we might do that. Could it be on a road bike? Could it be on a gravel bike? Could it be on a mountain bike? Would we be overnighting? Would we be simply riding for a coffee? Sometimes in the evening, we'd be just riding for a pint. I don't know. But all of that appealed to me. And the prospect of connecting not just the Northeast, but I guess the country as a whole, again, that appealed to me too.
How do you find the difference between cycling on your own and now cycling within a group? Has that changed the way you ride?
I think so. I think first and foremost, most of the people I ride with would probably tell you that the kilometres go a lot faster. You don't look down at your bike computer. You're a little bit more engaged, you know, in the ride itself. You get to learn a little bit more about people. You ride at a slower pace because you want to keep a conversation going, you know. And I think it's kind of hard to ride a bike and operate a phone and text someone or scroll through social media. You tend to get more of a person's attention, I think, when you're on a bike and you're riding side by side, and particularly if you're off-road, when you don't have to necessarily worry about traffic. And yeah, you can take time to make time, I guess, on the bike. That's what I found.
Mm-hmm. So you've recently been appointed to the board of directors of Scottish Adventure, so congratulations for that. Can you tell us more about what Scottish Adventure means? Because you were, I think, Scottish Adventure Cycling to begin with, and that's rebranded slightly, or did I misinterpret?
It's been a very conscious move by us. What we realised, I guess, okay, if I might go back. So the directorship came about through just being out riding with Roy, very much understanding through those rides that we shared the same vision, me being very enthusiastic about that, and Roy bouncing off that and taking away ideas. And we started to create a number of things, events on the back of that. We started to have a number of initiatives came out of those rides. So it's all very much ride driven. And then we looked to kind of formalize that partnership and me becoming on board and being an office bearer in the organization. So that was the first aspect of that. Getting back to then the branding, you know, we did start off as Scottish Adventure Cycling, but what we realized, and getting back to my previous point about conversations with people, is we don't just cycle with cyclists. We actually cycle with hill walkers. We cycle with runners. I happen to do, you know, wild swimming and also stand up paddle boarding with my family. So we quickly realized that, yeah, cyclists are not just cyclists. They're more than that. And not only that, in the Northeast, you know, and indeed countrywide, there's such a vast natural resource to enjoy adventure. Mm-hmm. So if we're onto something, and I think we are onto something in terms of building a collective, why not give yourself the opportunity to expand that? And if you're an enabling organization, why necessarily turn people off by letting them think that you're just only interested in cyclists, that you're only interested in road racing or time trials or riding as fast as you can from A to B? That's not really what we're about, Jacqueline, to be honest with you. Fundamentally, we want people to get out. We want them to enjoy the outdoors. We want them to enjoy Scotland. And we're trying to link various different businesses as well that are involved in adventure, in Scottish adventure. So it made more sense then to do the rebrand and have it as Scottish Adventure rather than just limit ourselves to cycling and all that might, I guess, instigate in a person's mind. You know, yeah. I'm a paddle boarder. These guys can't be interested in me. You know, I well swim. This is not for me. I'll just skip past it. Mm-hmm. When in effect, I was actually on a ride at the weekend, sorry, on Friday there. And one of the other riders there was trying to convince me. And, you know, it was a typical Scottish autumn day. It was, the rain was horizontal, but he was trying to convince me that I should jump into this lock with him. He wanted to go into this lock and go swimming. And we were at the end of, a 6-hour bike ride into the wilds of Scotland. And he said to me, "That lock looks so good. We need to go in. Steve, we've got to go in." And I'm like, you know, Colin, that's the last thing I want to do right now because I'm soaking anyway. But I took his point. You know, he wanted just that little bit more. We'd had such good fun.
Yeah.
He wanted a little bit more. He's, you know, he was wanting the cherry on top of the cake, wasn't he? So that's what we hope to do. And, you know, in some of the routes as well, we do, because we are going off the beaten track, we end up pushing our bike and hiking with our bike anyway. So why wouldn't we seek to involve that as well? You know, so that's why there's been a conscious rebranding there and a renaming of the organization to be Scottish Adventure.
Yeah, it's much more inclusive that way to all different outdoor adventure sports, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And at our heart is an underpinning point of enabling. Why would you seek to exclude someone? The biggest asset we have is the Scottish countryside. And if you want to have an adventure, sometimes that needs to be almost multidisciplined. Mm-hmm. To get to the top of Mount Keene, you know, not everybody will have a bike to cycle up to the top of Mount Keene. Not everybody will have the fitness to cycle up to the top of Mount Keene. But some people could cycle to the base of Mount Keene and they could ditch their bike and walk up it. Some people would prefer to run it as well. Mm-hmm. And then, and putting yourself, even if I think into that area, into Glen Tanner, maybe you'd want to go swimming there too. You know, you're close to Loch Kinnord. Yeah. Why wouldn't you have swimmers packed in your saddlebag and take them out and throw them on? And, you know, maybe if I'd been better prepared on Friday, I might have done that. But I wasn't. But I think that's a mindset, isn't it? And yes. we'd seek to encourage that, yeah.
So would you say that's the aim of Scottish Adventures, is to really give people as many opportunities and varied opportunities to get outside and enjoy nature?
I think so. I think it's definitely a key underpinning point or our strategy, call it what you will. We just want people to get out there and we want to hear their stories and we want to facilitate their stories as well so that we can encourage others. And I guess that the other aspect to that is getting businesses involved. And you mentioned that as well, you know, off camera, that how do you see that relationship? Well, the more members we get, the more attractive we are to businesses. Mm-hmm. And then those businesses would perhaps give us discounts, which then enable more members mm-hmm. as well. So it's almost like a dynamo or a wheel on a bike, isn't it, really? Once you get that initial momentum through the pedals, through the crank, it starts turning, doesn't it? And then it takes an awful lot to stop it. All through this is there's winners to being a business partner, there's winners to being an individual. And if we do it in a sustainable way, then hopefully another winner will be the Scottish countryside, because we'll encourage people to get out there in a responsible manner.
Yeah.
And to respect this great resource that we have, treat it wisely, and hopefully we can subtly influence people's thoughts through the campaigns we have to actually be responsible when you're out there and leave it in good shape for future generations, you know.
Yeah. You mentioned some of your events and rides that you offer, and I have seen on your social media lots of images and photographs of some of your adventures, which included overnight camp cycling and trips up to Peterhead and Fraserburgh. What kind of events are you offering, and what are you planning for next year?
Yeah, so you touched upon the Loch Mick overnighter. That was the first one, and we did the full length of the Deeside Way, about 9 of us. It was the initial ride. A lot of good conversations, I think, on that, getting to meet people, you know, over we were 6 hours just to get to Ballater. Mm-hmm. And then we cycled up the South Deeside Road up to Spittle of Glen Mick and overnighted there. Again, you know, it's a slower paced adventure. It gives you time to get to know people. You camp with people, you help them pitch their tent. It's very inclusive. That's one type of event, and I think we'll continue to do that in the future. We did, you know, the Formartine and Buchan Way from Dyce to Fraserburgh was another such event as well. But again, even on that event, we offered a ride out and ride back option. So some people chose not to camp. They just wanted to go out and ride the fullness of that actual trail. Mm-hmm. So again, that's the type of event that we'll seek to continue to do as well. There are so many trails and ways here and drovers pass in this country that's the type of thing you'd like to do. Mm-hmm. That'll continue. There's the local rides, which you've touched upon. That's for people who get together on a more kind of informal basis, a weekly informal basis, a shorter ride. Typically, those are maybe about an hour and a half to 2 hours. They're very informal. We simply, on the WhatsApp chat for that region, put out a rendezvous point. We put out the expected time, the terrain's going to be easy to go over, which type of bike you'd like, you know, you'd need to use. But we never ever leave anyone behind. We always regroup and make sure everybody travels together. Mm-hmm. So the local rides will continue to underpin it. And now in recent times, we've actually tried to take on a different type of ride where we provide more support. We've got our Christmas ride. We're calling it our Christmas MTB ride. And we're going to be based in and around Linavdee. Mm-hmm. Through a member, we've been able to secure some accommodation, an old hunting lodge, believe it or not, sleeps 18. We're going to lay on some dinner on the first night. We're going to cook breakfast on the first morning of that. We're then going to go out and mountain bike all day. We'll come back in, we'll get changed, then we'll go to a local restaurant. We'll have our dinner there. Then we'll have breakfast again in the morning. And then we'll go out and ride for a second day. And as part of the accommodation, as part of the kind of half board, if you like, we're also, through our business partner, eGuide Scotland, we're offering up the hire of rented e-bikes as well. So you needn't own an MTB to come on this trip. We're providing, and that's at a discounted rate through membership. Again, this is something that we're looking to get involved in. We plan to do a similar thing in Bute next year as well. So we're going to do a Bute weekend on the Isle of Bute. And there are other events that our members have attended, sportifs that, you know, I did a Duke's Weekender this year. And we hope to go back there in September of next year. So we take a member trip there this time. So I think what we have there is a range of rides that will suit all, I guess, abilities and all types of bikes. So yeah, we've got a number of different rides going. And now it seems we're developing that expanding offering such that it's for all riders. It's for all abilities and all bikes.
So what type of person is joining and becoming a member? Is there a variety of different people?
Mm. Yeah, I think what we've seen throughout the start is that there are a number of different types of riders. So we've drawn membership from the mountain bike community, from the road bike community as well. Even people who just want to come along and from your name, I hope I'm not making too much of an assumption here, but like a Dutch town bike as well. You know, they actually jump on that and come out and rides on that. So we see all different types of riders. If you were to push me and say primarily what do they do, I think because of the explosion in gravel bikes and because of the trails that exist in the Northeast and indeed throughout Scotland, if I think about the central region as well. So the ability, I guess, to to travel off-road and to carry also, you know, bags and things like that as well. So, yeah, I think our membership probably reflects the growth that we see in gravel bikes at the moment throughout the UK and indeed worldwide. But that's not to say it's exclusively so. We've been to the Tour of Britain. That's a road race. We had, the guys had a great trip up there and did that. It's funny, that weekend, I was at a gravel event. We took three or four members down to that gravel event. We had about five or six maybe up camping on the top of Cairnamount at a road race. And we had another two members who were down at a sportif in the Borders, all on the same weekend.
That was a busy weekend, and certainly the Tour of Britain was televised as well, and it was professional riders, around 200, I think, did the last stage of the Tour of Britain here in Aberdeenshire, and they came to our village as well at great speed. It lasted all of about a minute to see them all coming through, but it certainly looked like, you know, some big adventure on the Cairnamount, which is a hill here in Aberdeenshire. It's one of the old roads that connects Mearns and Royal Deeside. But there was quite an encampment there at the Cairnamount to watch the riders coming through.
There certainly was. And if you think about it, what went on there, it encapsulated a lot of what we're about. The guys rode out along the Deeside line the evening before. They then had a very social and, as I understand it, forthright dinner at the Douglas Arms Hotel. They then cycled up with their bike packing gear to then camp in the middle of the night to then watch a road race come through. So you have that elements of more than a community, of an organisation that want to take its time to have dinner the evening before, to have a few drinks, to then cycle up the road with tents, to then camp and have breakfast together and watch this race come through. Some of them were on gravel bikes, some of them were on mountain bikes, but they were travelling to see a road race. But in travelling to see that road race, they wanted to enjoy each other's company, they wanted to be social with it, and they wanted a little bit of adventure by camping out on the summit of a local and well-known hill to watch a road race come over and enjoying that atmosphere, cheer on these professional riders. You're the world champion pass over the top of the Cairnamount, which I think's incredible. You had Julian Alaphilippe, and he's subsequently retained his world title. You had Wout van Aert, who won on the beach in Aberdeen, but who also is the same rider that won on the Champs-Élysées this year, won on the Mont Ventoux this year, won a time trial. Quite frankly, I think that's incredible that they would come right over the Cairnamount, right through Aberdeenshire. My wife and daughter, as I was away at that sportif, my wife, daughter and son, they photographed Wout van Aert, so the winner on the Champs-Élysées, following Julian Alaphilippe in his rainbow jersey. And Julian Alaphilippe is following Mark Cavendish, who is obviously well-known to British cyclists and is, I think, now the joint record holder of Tour de France wins, all going past the bottom of my road. What an incredible advert for the city. What an incredible advert for Aberdeenshire. And as I understand it, it's coming back next year. My goodness, isn't that fabulous?
That is a fantastic result of hosting such an event. And it seems to me that over the last few years, there have been quite a few cycling events. We had, must have been what was pre-COVID, so 2019, we had the cycling event in the city of Aberdeen as well. It must be quite a nice feeling and a sense of accomplishment to see some of these bigger events coming up into Scotland and into the Northeast.
I think it's incredible. And there's never been a better time, I think, to be involved in Scottish cycling and Scottish adventure. I firmly believe in that. You know, I couldn't see the race on the Sunday, but I listened to the commentary coming back. And this experience Tour de France commentator that described the landscape over the Cairnamount as being akin to Mont Ventoux. What a feather in our cap. What an advert for the region. And I think to be involved in it, if you think all that Aberdeenshire can offer, and attracting an event of that type. And as you mentioned, the earlier event in 2019, that, as I understand it, that was a city centre criterium. So again, a different type of racing, so well supported. And I think we've got very enthusiastic locals and residents who love to see an event coming in. And I think if that then inspires them to go out and ride in the area and support local businesses, if it brings visitors to the area to support local businesses and showcase this great little corner of Scotland we have, then I think that's a powerful, powerful thing. And I'm only too glad that we're involved in it as a not-for-profit to help facilitate that.
there are different cycling groups, so there's something for everyone. There's road cyclists and people who really go for distances and times. But it's nice to have something like Scottish Adventure, which has a strong social element and community element around it as well. There are opportunities to do different types of events, not only in terms of cycle destinations and cycle routes, but also in style, in terms of the socialness and the community around it, and being able to incorporate different activities within your cycling. So there really is something for everyone here within the Northeast.
I think so, yeah.
So what do you hope to see in the future, both in outdoor adventure sports and in outdoor cycling within Scotland and the Northeast?
I think for us immediately, obviously the aim would be to grow, to enable more people to, I guess, primarily cycle, because that's where our strength lies, you know, but we do other things, of course. Mm-hmm. In the Northeast, we've had a lot of success in the Northeast because we've grown from there, but we'd like to replicate that model and see that level of engagement in the Central Belt. We'd like to see it in the Lothian and Borders, in Strathclyde, in the Highlands and Islands, Dumfries and Galloway, all those areas. And I think even in particular in Strathclyde, to be honest with you, because you may well be aware, but in 2023, the UCI World Championships comes to Glasgow. Now, that's great for Glasgow. It's great for the west of Scotland, but it'll also be good for Scotland as a whole. And I don't know if you're aware, I'm sidetracking a little bit here, and I will get back on point, I promise. But but this will be the first time where you'll have, there'll be road cycling, there'll be mountain biking, there'll be track cycling, but more than that, there'll be paracyclists involved. That will happen at the same time in this country, in this region. So we would like to support that. We'd like to take this successful Northeast model of enablement and put it in the West Coast and see it grow from there in time for this event. So we can have a number of cyclists and out there and enjoying Scotland, you know, and what better way of increasing enablement by having cyclists of all types of abilities, paracyclists involved as well. I mean, I think it sounds fantastic, you know, to have a paracyclist go over the road race course. I think that's excellent to see that and support that, and to see our recent Olympic coverage to realise that we're all glued to these superhumans as they attempt at events. We all want to see more of it. I think that's incredible. In the broader scale, you know, with membership, the more members we have, the more voice we have, the more we can make things better for primarily or initially for cycling, but also for the adventure community in Scotland, the larger the voice we have. And I think if you can include businesses in that and partner up with them, then we can get responsible adventure tourism. It's all very well, a cafe starting up, people come along, they get a cake, they buy something from that shop, they ride along, they ditch that wrapper. That's not what we want to do. You know, we want to encourage, I guess, responsible adventuring with responsible adventure partners, you know, and individuals. So I think we would like to take this model. We'd like to grow it domestically in a cycling sense to start with, because that's what we know a lot of, but then broaden that out into adventuring, you know, in all its forms. We've got a number, I've not mentioned this yet, but we've got a number of ski tourers within the group. We've got a number of hill walkers and climbers within the group. Imagine if we could take that model, that socially responsible, environmentally friendly model, out and broaden out beyond cycling into adventuring in all its forms in Scotland. I think that's the ultimate goal. And to have a voice, to be big enough to have a voice and to help shape the discussion, contribute to the discussion. I think I'd like to see that happen. I think we'd like to see that happen.
That's certainly an ambitious goal, but I'm sure that you'll manage to get to where you want
Thank
to be.
You.
What would you say about encouraging people to come and join Scottish Adventures, or if they have any concerns, how would you bring them on board? How would you entice them?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, I was once one of those people. And as I said at the start of our chat, I was fed up cycling on my own. I wanted more. If you flip that question, well, you know, I was 8 years doing that. I was never compelled to join a club. Why wasn't I? When I think about that, I think about why I didn't do that. So I can put myself in the mindset of someone who's maybe a little bit reluctant to join our collective. And what I would say is, I guess, come along, join up, see how it is. We don't leave anybody behind. We don't have a race club. We're not interested particularly in going fast. A lot of the social media posts you'll see with me, you know, we talk about a tin and a spin. On club rides, you know, if we can call them that, weekly rides, I will take out a water bottle and strap a tin of beer in there because we'll stop midway round and have a drink. That's not an elite athlete. That's not what we are. We want to encourage all. Someone, I'm reluctant to single this person out, so I'll try to keep this as anonymous as I can. We have a regular rider who's coming out, and he's hit 4 years ago by a truck. He's very nervous to be out on the road, as you can imagine. We look to help him. We look to enable him. We ride at a pace that suits him. And more so, he's joined our Nevising Challenge to raise money for the Scottish charity Air Ambulance. And what a delight to have him out last week. And we're out for 2 hours. We're out trying to gain some vertical meters, trying to get some sponsorship. And here we have a guy out there who's just edging his way back to fitness. He just wants to be out. He values the company and the security of riding with us. We're not going fast. And it wasn't just me who was riding with him. Other riders would drop back off to encourage him to ride at his pace. And I guess that's it. We want people to ride at their own pace, to come along, to have conversations. The Durris Dash, in fact, is, we've not even spoken about that yet, have we? But that's our event. We've got north of 85 riders there. And that's been sold to people as, come along, choose the checkpoints you want to go to, ride at your own pace. There'll be someone out there to look after you and keep you right, have your card stamped. And, you know, at the end of that ride, go back and meet with us for a beer and a pizza, you know? There's an inclusivity to that. It doesn't matter where your bike is. If it can go off-road, bring it along. You know, ride at your own pace. Choose where you want to go. We're not railroading anybody to ride fast, to have a certain swanky bike, and then to disappear at the end of it. We want people to hang around and talk to us and share their experiences of the day by having a beer and a pizza with us. So that's what I would say. I think there's something for everyone here. And yes, it's initially been launched as a cycling collective, but we hope to make it much more. And we hope to retain that ethos of companionship. Yeah, just come out. Just come out with us. Spend some time, you know. Leave this busy world behind and ride your bike slow.
It certainly sounds very tempting. And you do make it sound very exciting. So I hope that there will be more and more people. Certainly, as the weather improves again next year, more people will come out. I know it's not always the most exciting to be cycling in the rain, but people who are passionate about the sport will go out in all weathers, I'm sure.
Well, that's it, right. And again, you can turn this for advice if you're looking for the right, you know, jacket to wear, the right cycling shoes to have. We're only too happy to help out. Yeah, so there's two things I guess I'd say about that. Someone once said to me, if you only cycled when there's good weather in Scotland, you'd hardly cycle half a year. And that age-old one, isn't it? They said there's no such thing as bad weather, only poor clothing. So we'd help with both. We can't manage the weather for you, but we can certainly give advice and help you around, you know.
Well, as part of the podcast, I always write a blog post to go alongside that. In that, we'll share lots of information, both of Scottish Adventures, but also of the region, including some of your support businesses like eGuide Scotland and Ballant. Yeah. Anyone who wants to get more information can either come to the blog post or obviously directly to yourselves. Is there anything you'd like to add as we're winding down this podcast to share about either yourself, the region, or Scottish Adventure?
Maybe a few things. I heard this phrase, and Roy, to his credit, he's quite happy to use it. I often, in conversations with him, I've described Scotland as the best wee country in the world. I truly believe it is. And I think that in cycling, if I can return to that theme, if you imagine you've got this best wee country in the world, you can travel about it by car and you'll travel a great distance, yeah? But you won't see it properly because you're traveling too fast. You could walk it, of course, and that's definitely got its place, but maybe you won't travel and cover the ground that you hope to that day. So why not jump on your bike? You can travel fast enough, but you can travel slow enough. You can see maybe all you want to see that day, but at a pace that allows you to enjoy it, to appreciate it, and perhaps leave you with a thirst for more.
Well, part of enjoying your adventure is the sights, the sounds, and the smells. And you won't get that if you're traveling in a vehicle. You need to experience the environment around you.
Agreed. Yeah, and we get to touch on the health benefits of actually cycling and being outdoors and not being stationary. have we? So yeah, you know, I think that's the big attraction for me and for the collective. You know, we all share that love of being outdoors. And I think without speaking about it out loud, really we understand it. Cycling's probably just about that perfect pace, you know, and what a lovely area we have up here in the northeast on our doorstep to go out there and enjoy that. So yeah.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today. It's been a fascinating insight into everything that you do, and so nice to see that there's an opportunity for everyone to get involved in cycling and outdoor adventures, and that there's a social component to going outdoors and not necessarily striving for goals, but really enjoying the time in nature, doing an activity that you love, surrounded by people who are of the same opinion.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.